Yeah, Chatzos. Yeah, we're going to discuss that. This is one of the events. We're going to discuss the significance of Chatzi Halayel. Yes. Okay, let's see Rashi first. Rashi pasiches kisavar sheitu. He thought that this was a demon. Vubikesh lizoik, and he wanted to scream. He was terrified of demons. We think that, you know, the assumption is that people live in Tam Chazal, they weren't so afraid of Shadim because they live with them. But yet, you see, that's not necessarily so. He vikesh lizoik, he wanted to scream, or maybe wanted to chase it away. Vihi achazosoi, according to Rashi, she basically grabbed him. Ulefafoso bizroisav, embraced him with her arms. She put her arms around him to silence him. Basically, keep your mouth shut. Don't scream.
He's thrashing around.
So here means to embrace. Okay, I'm going to quote the Midrashim soon, which elaborate more, but if it's clear from the words of the word vayilafes, it means to embrace, to wrestle. She embraced him as a way, as a means, a technique in silencing him from his fear. The fear, namely, being that he thought that she was a demon, and why was she not? Did she want him to silence? Because if he would scream, people from the nearby community would hear the screams, and they would come into the silo, and they would see a woman lying in the floor with Boaz, and that would be the end. The sefer would end right here. Nothing more would happen. So in order to prevent his shouts from being heard at a distance, she embraced him to silence him. Let's see over here of Ulufafasa Bizra. She embraced him with his arms. So Rashi elaborates, Vayilofetz, but Ochas. The word Vayilofetz means to take hold of. Kimo Vayilofetz Shimshon. Shimshon, he grabbed hold of the beams, the two pillars that supported this palace, this whatever it was where they
the temple
where they put him on display. They were having a party and they were doing whatever they were doing, and he Hashem granted him at last bit of strength, and he pulled down the beams, and the temple collapsed, and all the Plishtim died. So there it says, Vayilofes, he grabbed hold of the pillars and caused them to crumble. So you see from the context of that pasuk, it means to be oiches, to grab. To not just grab, it's more of an embracing.
Put his arms around.
It's an embrace, a grabbing of embracement. It's not just you take hold of it with your hands. You embrace it. Okay, let's vihine isha. There's a woman, nasan yale al roisha vihika shehi isha. He put his hand on her head, and he recognized that she was an isha. According to the Medrash, she touched her hair. By touching her hair, because demons do not have hair. They're bald. Okay. We got some shadim here. Do we have any shadim in the shir? Okay. We have some shadim. So therefore, by touching her here, that is a sign that, wait a minute, are you a human being, or are you a demon? So then when he realized, the measure will go on, and he realized that, no, this is a woman. Oh no, I'm touching the hair of a woman. Sar b'isha erva. This is not going to go off very well. And on the record that I'm touching a woman, first of all, she touched him, she embraced him, he's now touching her hair. There's a lot of physical contact. Okay, it's not like they presented in Yeshiva Gitana that she was there, he was there, and there was no physical contact. You learn the details. In the details, there was apparently a lot of physical contact between Boaz and Ruth. Okay, and the Midrashim get even more explicit in exactly what happened. Let's see. Okay, so v'hinei yisha nasin yodei al roshav hikar she yisha. Okay, that's in the pasuk. Let's see the Targum. Pasuk ches in the Targum. The Targum says, v'havas, it was b'falgus lel, it was in the middle of the night, the chatzi halayla. Okay, we'll come to the Midrashim that discussed that idea in a moment. V'useva, and it was guvra, useva guvra, and that the svagur means terror. Sva is an expression for fear. Usva guvur ursays, two words which mean terror. Usva, that's the word vayecherad. Guvra is a man, ursays, and he trem ursays. So it appears from the Targum, ursays means fear. The Targum is differing with Rashi. The word Vayilofes does not mean to cease, to take hold of. Rather, Vayilofes means, or says, means to be afraid. Two different words which mean, which are synonyms. Why the repetition? It's not clear, but that's how the Targum seems to learn. The Israchich Kilif. No, I take that back.
Wait. Because, look, the she's at his feet. And he senses something, and he turns to see what.
Okay. Now, over here, the Targum is adding in more elaboration into the word vayilofes, and there's a lot of discussion. The israchich kilifta bisra. Lifta is turnip. Okay, turnip. Okay, so vayilofes. Vayilofes means turnip. And turnip is very soft. Now there are two parts to the turnip. There is the stem, which is kosher, which is hard, and there is the leaves, the very top surface, which is soft. The Targum here seems to be focusing on the word vayilofes, on the softness. The Israchich, he melted. His flesh melted like the softness of a turnip leaf. Bisray, his flesh. Min resesa, from the terror. The terror of realizing that there's a woman lying by his feet and the problem this is going to pose for him. The Nisayon caused him to melt away like turnip leaves. He then saw itisa damcha lekavel raglo. Damcha means she was lying opposite his feet. Okay, she was sleeping right by his feet. Uchavash yitreser, here the Targum adds a lot of interpretation. He controlled. He overcame. He conquered his yetzahara. The law crave liva sa, and he did not come near her. Hekma, so Hekma means the same way.
Kimo.
Hekma means Kimo. You have a different girsa?
No.
Hekma means like. Davad Yosef Tzadika, like Yosef the Tzadik did serve, Lemikrav Levos, like just like Yosef the Tzadik did the Sarev, Lemikrav Levos Mitzresa. Just like Yosef HaTzadik, which refused to go near the mitzvahs. Just like Davai Yosef Tzadik HaLeserva, he refused, Lemikrav, to go near Levos Mitzres, Itas Ribonet, the wife of his master, Eishes Potifar, Vehechma, and like Davad Paltiel Bar Layish, this was the name of a person that lived in the time of David HaMelech. He was the person to whom Michal Bashol was given in marriage after Chasida, Dinaat Safia. He thrust a sword, Bein Memre Uvein Michal, between himself and Ubein Michal Bashol, Itas, the wife of David. He's calling her Michal Bashol, still the wife of David. The Sorev Limikrev Livosai, he refused, Paltil Barlayish refused to go near her. And the story there was that after Shaul became suspect of David, he was paranoid that David was trying to take the Malchus from him. He made a very bizarre psak halacha that the marriage was annulled. This that he gave his daughter Michal Bashol to David in marriage because David was the one that succeeded in killing Goliath. It was a mekachtos. It was, I don't know the exact parameters of what the marriage was. It wasn't a valid marriage. It was a mekachtos. Therefore, they were never married in Mafreya. Therefore, Michal Bashol is now single and he can give her to marriage to someone else. He gave her to Paltil Balayish. Paltil Balayish says, what kind of psak halacha is this? That the marriage is annulled? What are the grounds? What are the grounds to say that it was a mekachtos? This is a very controversial thing, this man has. said the seitzah shitting. Today it's not accepted. These type of piskei halacha. I mean, there are a lot of stories in there which just show controversies. But Paltil Balayish did not accept the psak of his father-in-law Shaul, and he refused to live with her. But he had in his son every single day of being in the same room as her. He thrust a sword on the bed to separate himself from her to remind him that she is not permitted to me. She has the status of an Eishes Ish. She is David's wife. So here we have Boaz doing the same thing. Boaz, he refused to come close to Yosef in the sign of having relations with this woman, just like Yosef was Yosef in the sign of Eishes Potiphar, just like Paltil Barlai was Yosef in the sign. That's what the Medrash Rabbeinu says. This is what this the embellishment of the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Okay, so we have over here this Targum. Now some will learn that, now I'm not exactly sure this is a Medrash or this is a variation of the Targum. We translate by Yilofes means that his flesh became soft. The Israchich Kilifta Bisrei. The word Visrachich clearly means soft. And it clearly means his flesh became soft. Like lift over here has to refer to the top of the turnip. However, some say it's not. It's some say just the opposite, that his flesh became hard. Okay, referring specifically in reference to the erva. The erva became hard, and which basically means he now had an asoyon. He was now in a very difficult situation where there was an attractive young woman lying by his feet, and he had this very great temptation to sin with her. And that's why, you know, it fits very well with what the Targum continues to say, is that he overcame this temptation by being oimed bin asoyon. He overcame this temptation, and he behaved like Yosef HaTzadik together with the story of Eishes Potiphar, and like Paltil Ben Laish, who was able to overcome the Nisayon, of Michal Bashal. So yes, we have over here. So then, when we refer to the turnips, we don't mean to the soft, leafy part of the turnip that's on the top, but rather refer to the stem, which is hard. And some want to make a compromise. Some say both are true. At first, when he had the Nisayon, he became hard, like the stem of the turnip. And then, when he was able to remember that it's not proper, he was able to soften himself like the leaves on the top of the turnip. So he went from one extreme to the other extreme. The natural Nisayon was very difficult. That's what the Medrash wants to bring out. We want to be dafka focus on the lefes. Again, the lefes, vayilofes, comes from the word lefes, turnip. Turnip has two extremes. Has a part that's extremely hard and a part that's extremely soft. That's why the pasuk is specifically focusing on the lefes, to show that this person went from one extreme to the other extreme. The heart represents the great Nisayon, which is hard for us to understand. It's a very great Nisayon, and that hard for us to understand. But it was a very great Nisayon. And then the softness means his tremendous koyach, his spirit, his koyach, his yirushalayim, able to overcome that in the soyon and become soft like the leaves of the turnip. Okay, so that is how we interpret the word vayilofes. Now, of course, we have vayiba chatzi alayla. What is the significance of chatzi alayla? I believe this is one of the things that we mentioned in the piyut on the night of Pesach. On the night of Pesach, there is a piyut which mentions all of the events that took place by chatzi alayla, and one of them refers to this event of the Geula of the Maisa with Rus and Boaz. Many things happen Chatzi HaLaila. Here is one of the events. Why do we mention? So there are a number of interpretations. One of them being that the Zechus of David that would rise up in the middle of the night. It says in the Pasuk, it says in Tehillim, in Mizmar Kuf Yutes, Pasuk Samach Beis, the Shahaya Chatzois Laila Okum Lehoidois Loch Al Mishpitei Tzedkecha. In the middle of the night, I get up. Chatzois Laila Okum Lehoidois Loch Al Mishpitei Tzedkecha. In the middle of the night, I get up. In the middle of that, I get up to praise you for the Mishpitei Tzedkecha, for your your righteous judgments. So in that zuchus, that it would come from this woman, such a great person, who would rise up in the middle of the night to say Tehillim and to learn Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected her ancestor, to make sure that everything would go according to plan and she would not be cursed, and the everything would unfold according to the plan. Okay, so this is Chatzia Laila Vayilofes. Now, in addition to...
Which one?
I'm not sure. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe it's not there. It's not there? It's not there? It's not referenced here. Vayilofes Chatzia Laila? Okay, it could be I'm making a mistake.
But where does it say about this case?
About this case?
About this case specifically.
Okay, it could be right. I'm making a mistake.
There's a lot of reference to Haman, but not...
There's Haman, there's Sancheriv,
oh, right,
there's Sancheriv, Balshetzar. Okay, but those are actually the Echanami. I mean, I'm making a mistake. Okay, I'm making a mistake. This particular.
A lot of references, but not
this one. Okay, but this is an important Chatzia Laila. Okay, and the Parshat is referring to David. David HaMelech was the one that woke up in the middle of the night. In the.
So, but David HaMelech is saying, according to the Medrash, is that, he's thankful for the actions that Hashem did for his grandmother on that night.
Right. Well, the way the Medrash says, the Medrash says a little bit, there are multiple Medrashim, but the one that I'm reading from Medrash Lekach Tov, Galui Hoyu Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'osid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking to the future. This event was dangerous. Rus is putting herself at great risk. The natural reaction of Boaz would have been to curse her, would have been to kill her. Who knows what he would have done to her? That would have been his natural reaction. If he would have killed her, would it be held accountable? Her or not? There's who knows what's here? There's a demon in the middle of the night. What is she doing over here? It was extremely dangerous what she was doing. But yet, she needed merits. We mentioned before, V'yaradati. Naomi told her, do not worry, my merits will accompany you to the threshing floor. The Medrash says, an additional degree of protection was provided. Golui hoyu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'osid David lotzeis mimeno v'shehoyo oymeid v'chatzi halayla shenemar. David would wake up in the middle of the night, chatzois laila akum lehoidois loch al mishpitetzit kecha lefichach, therefore zuchus omad lo shleikoas olehoboyas, and that's chus accompanied with the future events accompanied to her, that those did not get angry, did not curse her. It's a very interesting thing that we don't normally
from the future.
Yeah, that's
it. Here it comes from the opposite direction. It says
Okay, so in Echanami. Okay, so it goes both ways.
Right.
But it's very interesting, as Nechemi mentioned, is to go look into the future. We don't find that. Zuchuyos go, they go backwards. You don't go HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the person ala osit. Since someone will come from union, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rechman us now. That's not the way this Bechira Chafshas.
In our frame of reference, but the
hindsight,
everything is
Hoya over here. But we don't generally find that here.
Yeah, you're right. But that's the answer then. You know what I mean?
Maybe in hindsight. In hindsight,
God
that
see
we
see it as the future. God sees it as a person's life. As a complete entity.
Hoya Havavi, it's all one by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I don't know. That's what it says. Alright, so now there are a couple of things I want to point out. Vayilofes. Vayilofes, we mentioned over here, Rashi means to grab. Ochas. We mentioned Vayilofes means to embrace. It means to Shimshon. He embraced the pillars, pulled them down. The Medrash also, and then we mentioned the third interpretation, it means Lefes. Lefes means turnips. And in Lefes we had two different interpretations. Are we focusing on the softness of the Lefes or on the hardness of the Lefes? In addition to all that, there is a Remez. The Remez, this is given by Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. Lefes comes from, we take the word Lamed. Lamed is short for Lefi. And Lamed Pei is Lefi. And tov is tumo, innocence. And what the Medrash means is that what Boaz did, his ability to be oimed in the nesayin of lying next to a woman, was nothing relative to Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik's greatest accomplishment in Chazal's understanding, at least according to this Gemara in Sanhedrin, was he was able to be oimed in the nesayin of Eshes Potiphar. We have to also understand how old was he? He was 17 years old. 17 years old? Okay, so a little bit older, 18, 19, whatever he was. So he was a 19-year-old, obviously has incredible taiva. The hormones are in overdrive when you're 19 years old. Boaz here was 80 years old. Okay, so there are conflicting memory chazal. Okay, you would assume that today an 80-year-old, I don't know, I'm not 80 years old, but what they say is an 80-year-old, the taivas are significantly diminished. Right? L'chora, you would say that. So it's not such a big deal. But yet Chazal seemed to say it was a very big deal. He had tremendous, tremendous taiva. We don't understand who he was, what exactly the Nisayin was. But whatever it may be, whether it was physical, not physical, but Chazal explain to you the exact words. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tokva Shel Yosef, meaning the most difficult thing that Yosef did in his life is Anvisonuso Shel Boaz, was the easiest thing for Boaz to do. Similarly, you would say 19 years old versus 80 years old, right? No big deal. But that's what it says. What do we mean? Dov Gol Shel Yosef Kedavar Kali, we translate to Dov Gol Shel Yosef Kedavar Kali Shabbatan Shabbat. Toikev means Dover Godl Vachamor, Vyesh Lo Shame. Anova and Vistanusa means Dover Shame Lo Shame. Shodom Osel Lefi Tumo. A person does it without thinking. Lefituma means according to his innocence. It's an expression, which means you don't think about it. It's just a piece of cake. I didn't even realize what I did. It was a second nature. Lefituma. So that's what it means. It was the middle of the night. He was terrified. He realized something is not right. And then he made an investigation. We have to add this to the pasuk. He made an investigation and he would discover that it was a woman lying near his feet. A woman lying near his feet? Do you know what that's a very great nisayon. Vayilafes. Big deal. Lefi tumai. There's a woman here lying near my feet. It's big deal. Vayi. It was lefi tumo. It was second nature for him to ignore the fact that there's an attractive young woman lying near his feet. Vayilafes that vihine isha shechaves margiloisav. It was nothing. It was like a piece of wood. Like in Rabbi Yochanan says he would stand outside the mikvah, and the reason why he stood outside the mikvah is that when the women would come out of the mikvah, there's such a concept that a woman, when she comes out of the mikvah, the first things that she looks at has an effect on the child that she will conceive. So that's what we look at in the mikvah. There's a tradition that's supposed to look up the Shemayim. Ever hear that Kabbalah? They used to look up to the sky, the toyar of the Shemayim somehow has an effect on the future child that will be conceived. Rabbi Yochanan would sit at the entrance of the mikvah. Today, if you do this, it's scandalous, obviously. But he sat at the entrance of the mikvah, so when the women should come out, they should see he was beautiful. More said he was beautiful. His biyofi resembled the yofi. Go back a whole chain. Shmuel? But I think that Rabbi Yochanan also, Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Shmuel also, that was the daughter of the Kesar.
Right.
But I think Yochanan also, his beauty was equivalent to all the way back to the beauty of Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov, the whole chain.
It goes back to Yaakov and the sheep.
Yaakov and then back to Adam, the Shufra, the Rabbi Yochanan was Kain. This, the Gemara goes back the whole sequence of Doros of his beauty. So when the women come out of the mikvah, they should look at his Yofi, and that should be influenced. The future children, they will concede, they should be beautiful. So here, also the more is the question, how can you do that? You're coming in contact with young women coming out of the mikvah, what kind of thing? So he said, to me, they're like a piece of wood. They're like a piece of wood. I have conquered my yeh, I have no yetzahar. Whatever that means, I have no yetzahar, they're a piece of wood. That's really what it's saying over here about Boaz. Vayilafes. It was nothing to him, the fact that v'hinei isha shecheves mar gulaysav. He danced. How could you dance with the cowl on your shoulder? It's a piece of wood. It's a piece of wood to me. Okay, so Sachakol, I think we have over here a total of 5 translations for this word vayilofes. Number one, Rashi, vayilofes is he took hold of. Second translation, vayilofes is to embrace. Vayilofes, she embraced him. She embraced, even though she vatilofes, the she with the tough, now with the yud. But that's really what the Medrash says, that she embraced him. She kept him quiet. Okay, then vayilofes can refer to the turnips, that he turned hard or soft, 2 different variations. Vayilofes, it was a lefi tumo, it was an insignificant fact that a woman was lying near his feet. Okay, there's one word translation I forgot. What do we forget? Vayilofes also means to fear. According to the Targum seemed to indicate vayilofes. It's not really clear, but the Targum seems resace. He was terrified. Vahava bepalgus lela usva guvra. Usva means afraid. Vayecherad resace. And then the Targum goes on to say that he turned into a turnip. So the Targum is giving us an additional perish to the word vayilofes, but the simple translation he's telling us it means to be afraid. That's seemingly what the Targum seems to be saying. It's another word for fear. Multiple words for fear. Maybe when a person is afraid, you hold yourself. You see that with little children. When little children get afraid, what do? They hold themselves. They wrap their arms around themselves out of a brace for a hard landing. Chas v'shalom, on an airplane, ever watch?
You roll up.
So it means, like vayilofes means to embrace yourself. Not that thing. That's really what the Targum means. The Medrash goes on to say, no, he was not the one who embraced himself. It was Rus who embraced him to silence him, not to make loud noises. But then it's difficult. Why is it with a yud, not with a tough? Shrivatilofes. Okay, so that concludes this pas. Let's go to, yeah.
Scenario, why couldn't Naomi go to her mishpacha and say
thank you for all you've done? You're asking a very tough question. I don't know the answer. Why couldn't she just send the shatran? Why couldn't she send the shatran to Boaz? You know this squirrel, she's been hanging out in your fields for the last 3 months. You know she's a tsanua, she's a very good woman, and you're a single man. Why don't you marry her? Why did she need to do this?
You have an obligation also.
You have an obligation. She's the close relative. Why did she need to do this?
And it could go wrong.
And it could go wrong, and it can be... Yes, what's the answer?
The pattern, because this is not an ordinary shidduch. This is the shidduch that produced the Belatam Moshiach.
So what? So?
No, because every incident that in this process, whether it's Yehuda and Tamar, or any of these other things, it's whenever there's an extraordinary event connected with it, and I'm going to use one of my favorite paraphrases of the Maharal, that extraordinary ends require extraordinary means.
Okay.
It cannot happen in a normal way. That's his explanation for all of these events.
Well, Tamar is a different situation.
No,
that was understood. That was understood.
No,
they had to do it. But here, she could go a different direction. And it's out of character for Rus to do what she did. She's being brought up by a
Tzedek.
Okay, but the question, I think his question is still, it's a tough question. What would have been if had she sent a shatran to Boaz? So the answer seems to be that Boaz would say, she's a nice girl, but she's not for me. She would say, you're right, she's a very nice girl. I mean, look,
look,
look, look what was out. What? Even if she would go herself, let's say she would go make an appointment with a shatran, and she would tell the shatran, I want to marry Boaz, and the shidduch would have been presented to Boaz. So it appears that Boaz would say, "Listen, I'm 80 years old, she's 40 years old. It's not a good shidduch. It's not. Let her go. Let her go."
Still the same 80, and she's the same 40. Sitting together, laying together.
Exactly. When it was done in this way, he shook her up. By shaking, by lying next to her, it put in his mind a reality that it can really be. If it would have been done politely and gently, it's not going to work. What? By going and lying by, look, you know, you're painting an image. Look, we're lying next to each other. It's not so terrible. All right, so that's the answer. Okay, the other answer is, I mean, that's pretty much the answer. Michal is saying something more Kabbalistic, is that the Melech, the Satan, is standing in the way. The Satan is standing in the way. It's not going to let Melech HaMashiach be brought. It has to be brought in an unusual way, which the Satan would think this never can go. Okay, something along those lines. Okay, let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk, Vayomer Mi'ot. At this point, he says to her, "Who are you?" Vatoma, she says, "Anochi Rus HaMosech, I am Rus, your maidservant." And now she proposes. Okay, she proposes, "Uforasto chinefecha al amosech, ki goelota. May you spread your garment upon your maidservant, because you are the Redeemer." Shaduchim, who proposes? "Will you marry me?" Have you ever heard a story where the girl proposes to the boy?
Yes.
Not on television. Okay, but v'derech klal, it's the boy that proposes to the girl, not the girl that proposes to the boy. And indeed, if you study all the various steps of the coming of Mashiach, it's always been where the woman takes the initiative. For example, Lot's daughters. Okay, who's the one that took the initiative? One daughter says to the other, "You know, our father is old, and there's no one in the world that's going to come upon us, kederech kol aretz, so we have to take extreme measures, so we're going to take action." Okay, Esther Hamalka. She's the one who took the initiative. Hasher avadati. The only way I'm going to be able to save Klal Yisrael is if I go. Until this point in time, she told Mordechai, every time I've had contact with the king, it was against my will. I was taken into the palace against my will. But now, if you want me to go and make contact with the king in order to ask, to invite him to the party and bring about the gula, I'm going to have to go willingly. I'm going to have to take the initiative. And by doing so, according to halacha, I'm not going to be permitted to return to you. Let's look at Yoel. Yoel, when she killed Sisera, she brought the geula. It was very great tzara. She went and she brought him into his tent. She invited him into his tent, and she had relations with him. Chazal say they had relations 7 times. Okay, who else do you have?
Well, the Gutosa springs down over there in Sodom Gomorrah. Also, it says when Elisha went out, went out with the Phil and Beyond Israel, when he went out with the general. That it says over there in Tosus that Gedolim have a right to make a Rosh Hashanah. You can't put your life in danger, except on certain conditions. If you go to Lador, you try to make a point, you could do it. But only like Mordechai, Esther, brings up to the
Okay. So, but the derech klal through history, the geula redemption has come through, or the part of the process has come through women. However, Chazal said that when Mashiach comes, the ultimate geula will come through a man. Why? Because women. Okay, women don't want to hear this, but the Chazal, women are weak. And women, just like in Leida, there's always more. The Chevle Leida, after one birth, there's another. There's always more. Okay, there's weakness, and a woman may experience joy at the time of birth, but it is going to be followed by another pregnancy and another set of Chevle Leida.
You know, the phrase you just used,
we talk about Chevlei Moshiach.
Yeah.
And you know, you.
But that's the end. That's the very end. That's why Oz Yashir Shir Chadash. There is Shir Chadasha and there is a Shir Chadash. All the songs until now are feminine. Why feminine? Because it's weak.
They're incomplete.
Incomplete. There's more to come. But when Mashiach comes, the Mashiach will come through a man. The ultimate Geula will not come through a woman. All of many different forms of redemption that we have in Tanakh have come through women. Lot's daughters, the process of Geula. Here we have Ruth, Esther, Yoel, Devorah was also instrumental in bringing the Geula from Sisera. Okay, I don't remember. There are more examples. There are a lot of women, but the ultimate Geula is going to come through a man. Here, the Geula, it's fascinating how not only is the proposal, I mean, from all the different examples, this is very striking. She is the one that proposed. I'm proposing to you, you should marry me. Okay, so let's see over here Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Tes. Uforasta kenaf bigodecha lechasuse to cover betalischa v'hu lashon nisuin. This is an expression of marriage. This one of the makaris for the din of badekin. What is the badekin? The badekin is when you go to the chuppah, and the chassan, he puts a mapa, he takes the veil and he covers the kala. Where does that come from? It comes from this pasuk. Uforasta Yaakov v'atikach es hatzuif atiskos. Right, she took.
No, to make sure he has the right one.
To make sure, no, but there it says that she saw him by Tamar and Yehuda. No, by also by Yaakov. But when Yitzchak came to Rivka, I'm talking about Yitzchak and Rivka.
Right.
When Yitzchak came with the camels.
Right. Oh, I thought you were talking about Yaakov.
I'm sorry, I'm saying, but when Yitzchak came back, and Eliezer brought back Rivka. Rivka said to Eliezer, "Mihu ish asher in the field," and he who Adoni. And what does the pasuk go on to say?
That's my balabas.
And how was her reaction? I think it says that she covered herself.
She covered herself.
Oh, so she indeed she covered herself. And then she covered herself. Okay, let's see. And there it says that she did it herself. This pasuk is more explicit. So Batigach, she took the tzoif. She took the hatzoif atiskos. What does Rashi say? Pasuk samachay vatiskos loshem vatispol kumoy vatikover. He doesn't say anything over here. So but here this pasuk is even better because this pasuk says that she's uforasto. May you spread uforasto chinafecho your garment. Rashi tells us chinafecho means knaf begodecha, the corner of your garment. Lechasusei to cover me betalischa, to cover me with your garment. V'hu loshon nisun. This is an expression of this one. So indeed, some learn from this pasuk there are more source for this is that the badekin is the chuppah. The chuppah actually takes place then before the kiddushin. We are all of the assumption that first you have kiddushin, erisin, and then after erisin, then is the kinyan nisuin. But some say the order does not have to be that. It can be first the nisuin. You take the kala into your home l'shem nisuin, and then you make the kiddushin. And that approach, if that is correct, then the badekin is considered to be to some degree a nisuin. There are even some rabbanim that want there to be witnesses. They have witnesses. They have edim at the nisuin to watch the badekin to watch the chasen put to cover the kala with. It's not common, but there is such a thing to watch the kala because also it's considered to be one of the kinyanim. Some place they don't even chasen doesn't even go. I think by chasidim the chasen does not even go to the badekin. The badekin is done by I don't know who does it. Maybe
a couple of things. First of all, in the badekin it's not his. It's her veil. It's not his.
Okay, that's a good
Secondly,
point.
I think also that, you know, there's a minig, at least, I think, in Yekis and
Talis under the chuppah. Talis, right, that's another thing. A talis under the chuppah, they are under the chuppah, they are covered by a talis. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
By the Yekis.
Right.
Sardin.
Yeah.
So it comes from this. It comes from this. Uforasta, chinofecha, alamosecha. You cover the talis, so there, and that's a much more literal translation of this pasuk. Indeed, it's a talis of the chassan that goes upon the chassan, the kala. It comes here from this pasuk. Okay, next words are ki goyel ato, you are the goyel. Ligaloi si, so why she concludes you are the redeemer. Ligaloi si, ligal nachalas ishi, to redeem the inheritance of my husband. Kemosh nemar, uvo goyeloi hakarov elo vigoal vigoimer, vechamoisi vani, my mother-in-law and I, tzrichos lim. We need to sell our inheritance because we do not have anything to support ourselves with. We have no choice. We've come to this state where we need to sell our inheritance. And therefore, the closest relative has an obligation to purchase the land. And now, Alech upon you, Liknois is upon you to acquire. Kine gam oisi imo. Just like you're going to acquire my inheritance, acquire me with that as well. That way, why? What's the advantage? When you buy the field, this Rashi over here is saying a lot of interesting things. If you're going just to buy the field, okay, very nice, but the name of my husband will no longer remain in this world. But if you also marry me, then when I enter into the field, people will say, oh, this is Eshes Machlein. Eishes Machlon, so the name of, because if I'm married to you, I'll be allowed to enter the field. If I'm not married to you, I'm not going to ever come into the field. So by marrying me, in addition, you will enhance the geula. Fascinating thing how far she goes here to preserve, and then this really ties into what Hagam is going to say in the next pasuk. She has enormous respect for her husband, her dead husband, deceased husband. The amount of loyalty is off the charts. Not only has she not gotten married, which we learned before in the Targum, not getting married is an expression of preserving the name of her husband. She now only wants to marry someone. She's not even thinking about having children and children will be named after. That's not what doesn't say that over here in this pasuk. But in order to preserve the name of her husband is that the closest relative will redeem it. And in addition to redeeming it, she will also marry this closest relative, and that way she'll be able to enter the field at will. And when she enters the field, people will see her and they'll say, oh, this is Eishes Machlein associated with her husband. So she's combining the best of all the possible scenarios in order to give honor and to give a zecher, a memorial to her husband.
Well, we have to think, turning back the clock, that there's only a din of Yibum if she had been actually converted when she was married.
Right. Okay, the Yibum we all know for a fact, right?
Yeah, yeah. The same, yeah, yeah. Theoretically.
No, so there's no question. Seemingly she was converted. She already was converted at this point in time.
But not, still would be she's very Hadasha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Al-Pi Halacha, there's no question. According to Halacha, there is no Yibum. Absolutely not. No Yibum. It's all symbolic Yibum. The Targum, the next pasuk, actually goes to town. He really goes to town with this din of Yibum. You can't just ignore the fact that there is Yibum taking place here. It's not a halachic Yibum, it is a symbolic Yibum. It's a symbolic Yibum, and the Targum says it multiple times in the Sefer. So we'll see. So this is Rashi.
According to Rashi, it seems that there are two things discussed in the puzzle.
Marriage.
The
financial, but it's not
something they're related.
They're related. That's how Rashi concludes. The relation is that's the connection. Kine gam oisi imo. That's the beginning of the pasuk. Marry me. She yiskar shem hames al nachalosa kisha avoy al hasode yomu zos eisha smachlan. So the two are definitely connected. Let's look at the Targum pasuk test. Vamar. So he says to Mi'at, Vamar, Boaz says, Man at, who are you? Va'amaras, she responds, Anorus am toch, Rus, your maidservant. The Yiskirei Shmochal am toch, may your name be called. Now here is an interesting translation. Instead of saying Uforastoch and Otecho, the Targum translates, may your name Shmoch al am toch, may your name come upon me. How? Through marriage. Le Mispi into to marry me as a wife, Arum, because Porik, and you are the Redeemer. So he adds into this pasuk, I want your name to be called upon me because you are my Redeemer.
Okay, let's clear that it discusses anything financial.
Rashi is much more into the financial aspect of this pasuk. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Vayomer, so he responds, Baruch at la Hashem. He says, yes, you are blessed to Hashem. Instead of cursing her, this is the critical moment in time. That here, this is the parallel to Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yaakov was afraid that instead of getting a bracha, he'll receive a klala. And Rivka promised him, Olai kilalascha bini, upon me is your klala. If he curses you, I accept the klala upon myself. In other words, he's not going to curse you, he's going to bless you. And indeed, Yaakov, he blessed, he gave the blessings to Yaakov. Here, exactly the same thing. She was afraid that she was going to be cursed by Boaz. And instead of being cursed by Boaz, what happened? Vayomer Barucha at Hashem, you are blessed, biti. Heitavt chasdecha achlan min harishayim. Your latter kindness is greater than your earlier kindness, which we'll see what that means in one moment. Levilti lechas, he really explains you what was your earlier kindness. You chose not to go achre habachurim, the young men, imdal v'imashir. It would be much better for you to marry a young man, even if the young man is poor, than to marry an old man, 80-year-old man like me, because what's going to be the future for you with me? Let's look at Rashi Pasuk Yud, Min HaRishon. What was the first one? The first one was Asher Osis Imcha Moisech. Okay, so Rashi learns the first act of kindness was what you did with your mother-in-law. You took care of your mother-in-law. You did not abandon your mother-in-law. That is what we're calling over here in the Pasuk, going to Rashi, as your first kindness. The Targum is going to differ. Targum Pasuk Yud, Va'amar. He says to her, Biricho At Min Kadam Hashem, may you be blessed from before Hashem. So it translates, Lashem means Min Kadam Hashem. Berati, my daughter, Oiteft Tevusich Basra Min Kadma'ah. So here the Targum beautifully elaborates. Kadma'ah, what was your first act of kindness? Not like Rashi, that you were kind to your mother-in-law, you did not abandon her. Your first act of kindness was that you converted. Kadma'ah de'is gayart. You converted. Uvasra'ah. The second one was the avadit garmich ki'itisa. You made yourself like a woman, ki intisa dinotro liyavam kalil, who waits for a young yavam, a yavam that's a baby, ad zaman di yerbe, until he becomes adult, begin the lo limhach bosar ravyon, so at the expense of not looking for a young man, lemevad zinu imohi, to be. Mizane. Okay, this is a very strange thing that the Targum says. You did not run after young men to be mizane, to live with them out of wedlock. Im hoin, im miskein, im atir, whether they're old or whether they're poor or they're young. Okay, so let's review the yesodos of the Targum. Number one, your first kindness was you converted. Not like Rashi, that the first kindness was to not abandon Nami. The second kindness, according to the Targum, is you're waiting for the Yavam. Who is the Yavam? It's not clear who the Yavam is. She's now telling him the Yavam is you, Boaz. And she compares Boaz to being a baby. If a woman is married to someone and the husband has a brother who is one day old, a newborn baby, and the brother and the husband dies, so what is the halacha? The Yavama has to wait 13 years until this baby matures, becomes an adult, for this baby to do on her, this 13-year-old, either do chalitza or to do yibam. So you, your husband has died, you're living in Moav, you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be a very long process until you find the proper Yavam to marry you or to do chalitza. And in the meantime, you naturally would have a very great nisayon of living with men, not denying yourself marital relations and living with being mizane with men, whether they're poor or rich. And that's your second kindness. You discipline yourself, you control yourself, not to seek the pleasure of being mezaneh with another person while you're waiting for the yavam katan to mature, and in this case, until you find the proper person to do for you yibmur chalitza. Okay, that's how he translates this word. Yes, that's halacha. That's the halacha. That is halacha. If you have a very unique, a very rare situation where the husband has. Yeah, exactly. That's the halacha. You have to wait until the child.
No, I mean, if your husband has no brothers,
but
any relative you have to wait for?
No, only a brother. No, only a brother. Yibam halacha today is only done by a brother, but there is a situation where if the husband dies and the husband has a brother who is one day old, or 30 days old, or 1 year old, then the widow has to wait 13 years until he becomes an adult. It could be even more. You have to wait until he's really 18 years old. I don't know what the exact deal, because to be certain that he's an adult, in order to chalitza or yibam. And what do they do to Rachmana Litzlan, something like this happens? Let's say Rachmana Litzlan, they see something, the person, husband is not well, and he's dying. And he has a brother that's a very, very small. So the rabbanim get involved. Good rabbanim will get involved. They will strongly encourage the husband, dying husband, to give his wife a get, so that his wife should not be an aguna for next 13 years. It's not uncommon. It's not common, but there are stories. What?
Any form of chalitza is extremely rare.
No, it's not extremely rare.
No.
I wouldn't say extremely rare. Extremely. There are cases of chalitza. You don't hear about them because people are not interested in publicizing it. It's not a pleasant situation, chalitza. Every so often they go and they twist the arm of Yavan and the Yavama to do it publicly as a learning experience for the tzibur. But more often than not, they're not interested. They don't want to be a spectacle. Not interested, and they do it what?
So they get married.
They don't get married. No, they don't get married. Yeah. Today you don't get married. Halacha said we don't do yibam.
You're
allowed to get married, allowed technically, but we don't do. Ashkenazim do not do yibam today. They only do chalitza. Only do chalitza. You don't marry sister in law. Okay, so
why don't you wait 18 years? You know the woman who does will be past childbearing.
Doesn't matter. The mitzvah of yibam does not depend. Even though theoretically the purpose is to have a baby and to name the baby after the child, but that's not the halacha. That's the.
She's 90 years old when she called
the yibam. The mitzvah is to get married. It's not a matter of having children. When it says in the pasuk, v'hoya habachar. Yakum al Shem Achiv Hames. It's not the halacha. It's v'hoya. Who is the one that does yibum? V'hoya habachar. The oldest brother is the one that does the mitzvah of yibum. Yakum al Shem Achiv Hames. He inherits the brother-in-law. It's a monetary. It's a strange pasuk. The pasuk literally we would assume it means telling you that the purpose of yibum is they should get married and have a child, and the child will take on the name of the deceased. V'hoya habachar. The baby that's going to be born, Yaakov, will now stand al shem achiv hames, will take the name of the brother who has died. But even though that's the hashkafa, that's the message of Yibam, that's not the halacha of Yibam. The halacha of Yibam is v'hoya habachar, the oldest brother. If there are 10 brothers who are eligible to do Yibam, the oldest brother comes first, and that brother does Yibam, Yaakim al Shem Achiv Hameis, inherits the assets of the dead brother. Let's say the woman can't have children, let's say the woman's too old, doesn't make a difference. That's irrelevant in halacha. So here, okay, so we have over here Targum telling us a very interesting interpretation of what is going on here. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Viata biti. Let's just go a little bit more. Viata biti pasuk yudal. My daughter al tiri. Do not be afraid. Kol asher tomri salach. Do not be afraid. Everything asher term which you say to me, I will do for you. Ki yodea kol shar ami. All the people in the bezdin. The shar is a code for the bezdin. They all know ki eshes chayilot. You are a righteous woman, and you deserve. And you deserve the best. Let's take a look at Rashi. There is no Rashi pasuk yud aleph, targum pasuk yud aleph. Ocha'an, and he answered her, Brati. Ocha means now. Brati, my daughter, lo sit chalun, do not be afraid. Call this same womanly. Everything you say to me, aved lech, I'll do to you. Adum because gilei, it is revealed. Kadam kol yispei Tiras Sanhedrin. Here the Targum elaborates. It is revealed in front of all those who sit, who are Yoishev. Does not say this in the Pasuk, Yoishev. Tira means that the gate of the Sanhedrin, Rabbah, the great Sanhedrin, the Ami of my nation, a very long elaboration. Though all those who sit in front of the gate of the Sanhedrin of my nation, they all know Arum that it is such sadikta and you are a righteous woman, the is bichela, and you have the strength lisovora to bear near pikodaya de Hashem, the yoke of commandments of Hashem. Near means the yoke, in oil, the yoke of the commandments. Everyone here knows that you are able to become, now it seems like, from the words of Targum, he's coming to be Mechazek or Geras, that Ger Tzedek. Everyone knows that your Geras is authentic. You're not going to switch back in a few days from now and go back where you came from. Everyone knows that you have Gresa Plates. Your shoulders are strong enough to bear the yoke of the mitzvahs. Everyone in this Sanhedrin knows this, so therefore there's nothing to worry about. And indeed, I am going to marry you. Okay, there are some cute little references over here of at. Yeah?
The tense is actually called Kolasher Tomri.
Whatever you say to me, Tomri means
what? What is Kolasher Amarti? Amarta. Whatever you told me, it's past.
So,
she already proposed marriage.
Right. So what's...
saying, yeah, I'm going to marry you. That's what's
talking
about.
Yeah, yeah. Time, future tense. Future tense.
You can ask
anything in the future, not in the past, you're saying. Kol asher tomri. I do not know. Tomri, anything that you say to me. I don't know. Kol asher tomri esalach. Whatever you say to me will be done for you. Okay, now there is a short little nice little word at. Why did he have to say ki yodea kol shar ami ki eishes chayil ot? Eishes chayil is arranged from aleph to tav. We learned that not so long ago. We have to make a sim. Maybe we'll make a sim next week. Is that okay to everyone? Next Friday? Is that a good day to make a sim?
Next week?
Next Friday? A week from this Friday? For Sefer Mishlei. What we learned before. Sefer Mishlei. Okay, we'll see. We'll talk about it. But Eishes, the last part of Mishlei is Eishes Chayil. It begins with an Aleph. It's arranged a 22 psuk from Aleph through Tav. So the Mefarshim of the Balei Musa said that there are many women. Some women have you pick and choose. They have some of the mildest of Eishes Chayil, but not At. So this woman, she excels in letter Gimel. Gimel Asu Toi V'Loi Ra. This woman excels in the letter Vav. This woman, she, you talk about. Yes, a shatran. Tell me about this girl. She has Gimel, Zayin, and Chof. She's very shvach when it comes to Lam. And if you want to talk about a letter Chof, forget it. There's nothing there. Right? So you can describe on the Shidduch resume which letters. Checklist of the letters of the Aleph Beis. There's no such thing as a woman that has all the letters of the Aleph Beis. When you go through the Eish Eschal, they have some, and they're missing others. But everyone knows Eish Eschal Ot. You, Rus, have everything. Okay, Rus, you got it all. You got it from Aleph through Tav. You got it all. Eish Eschal Ot. Aleph through Tav. All the miles of Eish Eschal. That's what it says over here. Okay, that is now. Another interesting idea is Moshe Rabbeinu, when Yeshua advised him, he advised him to select members for the Sanhedrin. Yeshua said, "V'ata and you, Moshe, sech zemikol ha'am and shechayil." Number one. Number two, yirei Elokim. Number three, and she'emes. Number four, sonei botza. So Yeshua asked Moshe, advised Moshe to find people that have four qualities. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayivchar Moshe anshei chayil mikol Yisrael. What happened to Milo number two of Yirei Elokim anshei emes sonei botza? So some say they're different ants. Some say you couldn't find them. In Echanami, you couldn't find people those madrega. Only found anshei chayil. And some say Moshe told them it's redundant. Anshei chayil is koilel everything. Anshei chayil person, anshei chayil automatically, they're going to be Yirei Elokim. They're going to be Anshei Emes Anibot Zachayel is Begematria 48. We makabel the Torah. Torah is acquired with 48 Memches Tevarim Shatar Niknes. The last parak. Memches Tevarim. Anshei Chayel means you have acquired all 48 Milos. And among those 48 Milos is Yiras Elokim, and it's Emes, Sanibotza, you have it all. So therefore Moshe said to Yisrael, Yisrael, you're Makatzer. You're coming from a non-Jewish, you're coming from a nation where they marach too much. Klal Yisrael will get to the point. Anshei Chayel is everything. Here as well, he says to her, you have all the Milos. Everyone in the Sanhedrin knows Ki Eishes Chayel Ot, the same expression that Moshe Rabbeinu used in reference to his Sanhedrin is what here Boaz is using in reference to Rus. She has all of the milas. Okay, let's go one more pasuk Yudeis. The Ato now ki omnam, even though it's true ki goyel ki'im, we have over here a word that is spelled out but is not read. Ki'im goyel anochi, the gam yesh goyel cut off mimeni, there's a goyel that's closer than there's another goyel. Even though you're right, you are correct. Okay, we're not going to have time to go through all the details as possible, but he's basically telling her that you're right, I'm going to redeem you, but you should be aware that there's someone that's a closer relative, has kedima to marry you, and we have to consult with him first. Let's first see Rashi. Pasuk Yibes, Viatwa, now, Ki Amnam. Okay, we have long Rashi. Ki Amnam, Ki Im Ksif. The word Im is spelled in the Pasuk, which means Viatwa, Ki Im. Viatwa, Ki Amnam, Ki Im, Goyal Anochi. So why is the word Im Ksif Loikwi, Kolomar Mashma Safik? Okay, which is mashma, it might be, I'm not really sure. There might be someone that is close, so we have to make an investigation. Vada yesh koroiv mimeni.
If it would say im,
then it would mean a suffix, but it's not true. There certainly is. That's why we don't read the im, because im has a connotation, there might be. There's no maybe. There definitely is a relative who's closer in line than me. So that's why we don't read the im. That's why we don't read him, because we say the truth. Vadai yesh goyel kodov mimeni. So why then is it spelled? Because it could very well be that he was not aware. He was not aware. Okay, I'll leave that. Let's leave that out. I'm not sure. Sodom Acherim. Let's see. Sodom Acherim. Im Mashma Sofik Vuhu Vadai. A Sofik, which is okay, the same idea. Omar Rabbi Shimon Levi. Shalmon. Now we explain exactly who this person is. Shalmon Ve'Elimelech V'Toif. The person over there referring to, his name is Toif. Okay, that's going to be a machlokes in the next pasuk. Pasuk like we come to pasuk Yud Gimel. It's going to be a machlokes between Rashi and the Targum. What was the name of the closest relative? We call him later Ploini Aloini, but here he's called Toif. So the question is Toif called Ploini Aloini or no? Toif is not his real name. That we're going to see tomorrow. There is a machlokes. Okay, let's see over here. But according to Rashi is taking sides at this moment in time that the name of the closest relative was Toif, and Toif was the brother of Elimelech, and Boaz was the nephew of Elimelech. Here we go. Shalmon the Elimelech the Toif Achim Hayu. They were brothers. They were brothers. Umar Asher Liachinu. Le'Elimelech, who was Boaz? Boaz was the brother of Shalmon. Was it Salmon or Salmon? Salmon. It was the son of Salmon. Okay, he was Boaz was the son of Salmon. Now, if he was the son of Salmon, that makes Elimelech his
uncle.
So that's the question. How then can we have later on? He's going to say, "Umahu asher liyachinu le'Elimelech." Later in Perek Dalet, we're going to see that Boaz refers to Elimelech as his brother. It's not his brother; it's his father's brother. It's his uncle. So how then can he refer to him as his brother? So the Rashi answers the question: Li'olam koyrei adam es doidai. A person always calls his uncle Achiv. Kinyan Shenemar, with none less than Avraham Avinu in reference to Lot. Vayishma Avram ki nishba ochiv. There it's in the reverse. He called his nephew Lot. He called him his brother, and really he was his nephew. Va'aloi Avraham dodo hoya. He was his uncle. Kach hoya Boaz Elimelech. Same thing. Boaz was Elimelech. He was a ben ochiv. Kroiva shel machloin. Avul toiv hoya Yosekar. Toiv was a brother. Elimelech was a Boaz was a nephew, the son of Salmon, who was also a brother, a younger brother of Toiv too, Elimelech, and yet he's calling him, he is closer to me, Korov Mimeni, Shu Och Va'ani Benoch. Okay, let's look at now. We'll do the Targum Torah. I want to tell you one beautiful verse before we conclude. And the Mepharshim say the Darshan, that this pasuk in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was extremely eager to bring to bring Mashiach, to bring the Gula. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yato now, ki omnam, it's true, ki goyel anoichi. Hashem says, I am the goyel. I am the goyel. Ani rishon aliyachar. Hashem says, I'm ready to bring the Gula right away. But the gam yesh goyel kodof mimeni. There's another goyel that's even closer than me. Who's that? Us. Hashem wants the gula should come through our maisim tovim, through our tshuva. This be'ita and achishena. If we do tshuva, the gula will come achishena, will come quickly, will come before its time. If we don't do tshuva, the gula will come be'ita. So Hashem says, I am the ultimate goyel, the ata, ki omnam, it is correct, it is true, ki goyel anoichi, I am the goyel, I'm going to bring the gula at the eat, at the proper time. I promised this to the Avos. I promised the owe to you. However, Vagam, you should realize you Klali Yisrael, you also are a partner with me. You also are a redeemer, and you can bring the Gula earlier if only you'll do tshuva. Vagam Yesh Goyel Konoiv Mimeni Klali Yisrael. They're also the Goyel. They're a Goyel that comes before me. If only you'll do tshuva, the Gula will come earlier than later. All right, we'll stop over.